Hey everyone, I'm Jason V, and this is Local Color. Today's guest is Kyle Pompey of Nice Shot Studios. Kyle's street photography evokes a sense of wonder and trepidation in Baltimore. A self-taught photographer, Kyle got his start in the arts by accident. A chance encounter with a friend selling cameras allowed Kyle to shoot his first event without any real experience. But through it all, he's developed his own style that may be inspired by others, but a style that is authentically his. Listen as we talk about his life, photography tips for beginners, and how he recreated an iconic photograph in Baltimore. So you're talking about, I still can't believe, man, that Harold is your uncle. Like, it's I guess it's like a small world type thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot of people, when they hear my last name, they either ask me about Pete Pompey. He just passed away not too long ago, too. God rest his soul.
Is that the other uncle?
He's like a distant cousin.
Okay.
But, you know, when you hear Pompey, you know, you're going to think about Harold or Pete. So Harold is actually my uncle. That's my father's brother.
All right, and then did Pete work in radio too?
No, Pete was a basketball coach. He coached Dumbo and Emerson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about he won championships like back when was the ish.
That's cool. And when I've talked to Harold, he told me didn't he go to Emerson High School?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And I don't know if he told me that he still lives over by there, but like. Does he live over on the west side?
Yeah, he actually lives right next to where he grew up.
Really?
Directly next door to where he grew up his whole life.
Did he do that on purpose? Or?
Yeah. The people that live next door moved out, and he just basically bought the house for real cheap, fixed it up, and
now he's there?
Yeah, it's right next to mom. or grandma.
Right, I guess. In your case, gotcha, man. So where are you from? What part of Baltimore are you from?
I'm from East Baltimore, Lanville and Greenmount.
Lanville, why does that sound familiar? That's like a block or two south of North Ave, right? Near the cemetery?
Two blocks, yeah. And I'm literally right on the corner. Ironically, the tragic situation that happened with the two young men that got gunned down by the police, that happened right in front of my father's house.
What?
Yeah.
And you've lived in that house your whole life?
I lived in there until I was about 18. Mm-hmm. That's when I moved out on my own.
Man, so what was it like coming up in that environment?
It was cool. Like, I mean, I was like born around there, so that's all I knew. Like, I know now that I think about it, like my father really didn't let me go further than I can hear him whistle. He obviously knew that neighborhood wasn't the best neighborhood, but wanted to give me some sort of freedom. So in my eyes, you know, I had my friends, and my friends could go anywhere, but you know, I could basically go like to the end of the block.
And then you had to come back.
Yeah, but I'll never downplay living around there because it made me the person who I am, just because I feel like I can make it anywhere growing up in that environment. Like, I was subjected to a lot of different areas of life and living. So, like, it shaped me to be the person I am. I'll claim it forever.
Can you talk about some of those experiences? Like, start with, I guess, you know, just... through, I guess, start from school to now.
All right. Well, I went to Mount Royal from kindergarten to the eighth grade. That was like home field for me. And that actually was in West Baltimore. And, you know, through there, I met a lot of people that lived in West Baltimore. So naturally, I would go to their houses. I'm an only child, so I always wanted to go to my friends' houses. So,
yeah.
You know, I met a lot of people in different areas of Baltimore. And, I mean, that's basically it. Like, I played basketball my whole life, and then I bought a camera, and that changed my whole perspective on life.
What was your first camera?
My first camera was a Coolpix Nikon.
Is that one of like those small, like the square silver ones?
It was black.
Oh, so it was black, okay.
It may have been one of the first point-and-shoot cameras that replicated a DSLR.
Okay, so you like I know a little bit about photography, and we'll get to that in a moment. But how old were you when you bought that camera?
I was 24.
Wait, how old are you now?
I'm 35.
What?
Yeah.
Y'all thought you were like my age.
No, I'm 30. Everybody says that. Everybody, I'm 35, yeah.
Oh, man.
So actually, I'm lying. I was 27. I was 27 when I got that camera.
Okay, so birth through the age of 27, you stayed up at Green Mountain Landville?
Yeah, well, up until 18, I was at Green Mountain. Then I realized I could move out on my own, so I got out of there. And then I moved on Lothian. That's like close to Chinkapin Middle School.
Yeah, Northeast.
Yep.
Okay, I know
I
you're
moved over
about.
There. I was at Morgan at the time, so it was close to Morgan. You know, I was on my own. I just had my son. So I pretty much just was a regular working guy at
right.
that point. You know, I was working at Pepsi, you know, playing a game, taking care of my son like a 19 to 24-year-old would do, you know. So
gotcha.
I didn't, at that point, I just wanted to make money and take care of my son. So my best friend is a photographer. His name is Devin Klett. And I actually was living with him at the time just for like a brief stay and transition to another place. And in that time, he was selling the Cool Pics Nikon I was telling you about. And I just bought it because I knew where Eagle was and Cambridge, Maryland. I used to deliver liquor out there. And I just wanted to be able to get close-ups of that bird in the nest. So I bought that camera from him. And one of my friends basically came to me and was like, oh, this girl I know wants somebody to take pictures at their birthday party. And I was like, why are you telling me? She was like, well, you just bought the camera. I was like, oh, I don't even know how to use it yet. I just got it.
All right.
So she was like, well, all right, she's going to pay you, so why don't you just go? So I was like, all right. So I went, and I'm telling you, when I was there, like, at least three people asked me to do three different things.
Wow.
And I'm the type of person that I don't like to say no unless I definitely know that I can't do it.
Right.
So I told them, oh, yeah. Like, the first shot that I took while I was at that event,
yeah,
came out pitch black, and it was like all the lights were on, and I'm looking like, oh my goodness, what's going on? I called my buddy I got the camera from. I'm like, yo, all the pictures coming out black. Like, what do I do? He like, turn up your ISO and turn down your f-stop. I'm like, all right, you want to speak English? Like, I wasn't a photographer. I just bought the camera, so I fooled around with it until I could get a decent shot, and I guess my confidence just came, and it was like, you know what? I can learn how to do all this stuff that they want me to do at this point. So that was like the beginning of where I am now, which at the time I had no clue that I would be like a full-time photographer right now.
It feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it's awesome. Like, it's awesome. I'm telling you, like, I haven't felt this good in a while.
That's great to hear, man. It's always good to have that feeling when you're going out and just, you know, trying to achieve what you want.
Right. Right.
So a little bit earlier, you talked about buying the Nikon. Oh, by the way, did you ever end up taking the picture of that eagle?
I believe I did, but it was so long ago.
Oh,
like,
true.
I don't know where that image is. Like, I've had like at least 100 external hard drives, and at the time, like, you gotta think, this was 9 years ago. I might have put it on a CD and lost it, or it got scratched up or something, you know. So like, storage is a lot different now. So
gotcha.
Yeah, I wish I did. I might try to find.
That'd be cool, man. So talking about point and shoot,
DSLR.
DSLR. What does that stand for?
Digital. Wait, I don't even know. I know the D stands for digital. SLR, single lens something.
I was going to say, I don't know.
SLR is basically you can't change your lens. You can't take the lens off and put another lens on. Now, all right, and I'm going to explain why I don't know this technology. Like, I never went to school. I basically bought a camera and learned by doing. So, like, I'm just a trial and error type of person. I'll say I went to YouTube University. Because anything I need to know, I'll just go to YouTube. So, I've you know, taught a lot of people how to do photography, and I teach them through layman's terms because that's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
So digital SLR is basically a digital camera that you can interchange lenses, and the SLR is basically a film lens that you can interchange lenses.
Your bio says that you got interested in photography when you were at BCCC. So was that around the time that you bought the camera?
Well, actually at City College. So not
Baltimore. Oh, not Baltimore. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I went to Morgan. While I was at City, actually before City, like, I have like two or three photo albums from, I'll say, sixth grade all the way up to through high school. After a while, like, after I started doing photography, like, I started realizing, like, I've always had, I'm not even going to say a passion, but a desire to capture memories. And, you know, I wasn't in any of the pictures because I was taking them. I just wanted to capture memory. I like the idea of taking a picture and being able to see it later.
Right.
So I always had that in me. I just never thought about making it a career because I didn't know anybody that was doing it. So I never would, you know, think to equate a career with photography.
Well, how did you make that leap from something that was a hobby to something that could get you paid?
That first event that I did.
Oh, the one with, okay.
Somebody asked me to do a wedding. Somebody asked me to shoot an album cover. And then just like a regular, like, family shoot.
Okay.
And I think two out of three of those things actually went through.
Yeah.
And I did good. Like, I did good enough for them not to hate me. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that kind of, like, gave me motivation to say, you know what? I can make some money with this.
All right.
You know, but it didn't tell me that, you know, I could quit my job at the time.
Right.
This is just like, oh, I can make some money.
You can make some extra money. Right. So your site says that you do fashion shoots, portraits, events, and products. What's your favorite scenario to shoot?
I like street photography. Like, I just like to see things going on and capture those moments where people don't even know. Necessarily know, and that doesn't even have to have people in it. Like, I like to show everyday scenery in a different light, you know, or from my perspective. You know, like, anybody can take a, you can have 10 photographers take a picture of one thing and it'll be 10 different perspectives.
Right. I think that's the craziest thing about creativity in general, similar to what you're saying. You know, if five people read a book, each of them will have a different idea of how the book looks to them. I think that's just crazy how the human brain can do that.
Exactly. But that's art, and that's what brings on that conversation.
What do you mean?
To make art. Like, if you see a painting on the wall, it's the same thing as reading a book, right? They say a picture says 1,000 words, same way a book may have 1,000 words. So if we both are looking at a red dot, and somebody says, what is this? It could be a totally different thing for me than you.
Oh, okay.
So if we're in the same arena, you know, talking about this, mm-hmm. you know, there could be, you know, conversation about, you know, why you would think this dot is red and why I could think somebody even painted it. You know what I mean? So, you know, that just brings on a conversation, which is art.
You gotcha.
Know, like, if you're not talking about something and somebody says that it's art, then it's probably not that good, or it's not. Like, I want people to hate it or love it. I don't want people to just walk by it.
Gotcha. At the end of the day, you don't care what kind of reaction they get, or you don't care what it is. You just want a reaction out of someone.
Yeah. Like, I mean, no press. I mean, all press is good press.
Okay.
Right.
Or, so bad press is still press.
Bad press is still press. You know, like, they still talking about me.
Yeah. Has your photography ever gotten you in trouble, or have you ever photographed like crazy situations, like anything like that?
When I first got started, right, I started out in the event arena. So, like, I was taking pictures for like a lot of promoters in the city, and after a while, you know, you get tired of the same old going out, taking pictures, going home, editing them. So I decided to start a website, and just to make my website interactive and fun and cool. So I had this thing called caught you slipping. And thinking back on it, it probably was like a super bad idea because it would make people want to stay away from me. Mm-hmm. But like, if I saw somebody sleeping in the club, I would take a picture of them and just put like a, I had this little animation that I would use of this cartoon pointing at somebody with the words bubbled out of his mouth, caught you slipping. So it was just, you know, stuff like that. But I haven't really, like, nobody has really never been negative about my work yet, which is scary because I don't know how I would act if somebody did act like that.
So no one's ever been like, I don't like this?
No, I mean, just perfect, not something that I put out with intention to have a response back. You know, like if I'm doing a shoot and I take 100 pictures, of course they're not going to like every last one of them. And it's more than likely something that they don't like about themselves and not the picture. So anything artistically or anything that I put on Instagram, like I don't really get any bad responses about, you know, usually people say they like the stuff.
You mentioned Instagram. I have another question, but I want to jump ahead to this one. As a photographer, what's your, and I know that you have an Instagram for all your work. As a photographer, how do you feel about Instagram? Do you feel like it's taken all the guesswork out of taking a good photo? Because it seems now it's just turn the phone at an angle, put on one garbage filter, have some good hashtags. Congratulations, you're Instagram famous. Like, what do you think about the app?
Well, I love Instagram. Like, I was like a Twitter fiend until Instagram came out. And that's more because, you know, Instagram is picture-based. What I didn't like was when they started letting people, like, put text in the box. You know, like, when you can just...
Oh, when Instagram first came out, you couldn't write captions and stuff?
No, it was just pictures and then, you know, you can put your caption in there. But then they added, like, those side apps, those third-party apps where you can type
in where you can basically, like, make memes and stuff.
Basically,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
That kind of, like, I didn't like that, but I get it, you know. So I don't have anything against Instagram at all. Like, you know, people taking Instagram and pictures with their camera, I mean, with their phone, doesn't affect my business at all. Because, that's just something fun to do. It's an app. You're supposed to have fun with the app, but when people are ready for business, they're going to come to people who, you know.
Who got the business equipment.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of business, getting back to the question that we jumped ahead of, you were talking about your website. You wanted to make it interactive. Your favorite stuff to shoot is, what was it called, street photography?
Yeah.
And you also do events and other stuff. So can you talk to me about your alter ego project?
Yeah, the first person I saw do the alter ego was Derek Blanks. And he's a very good photographer. I believe he's out of Atlanta. And it was just amazing to me. And when I found out, you know, how to do it, it was just something that I felt like certain people should have. You know, like with me, it's not all about making money for me. Like, I'll turn down something if I don't like the project. Just because if I'm not as into it as you are, that may show in my work. You know, so I'm not in this for the money. I'm in this for the passion. So if somebody's coming for me shopping around, that's going to make me feel a certain kind of way. I want you to come to me because you know my work, or you know me as a person, you know what I mean? Because that has a lot to do, you know, a lot to do with being a good photographer, having a good personality, confidence, a great personality, being a people person. It's not always about being able to take a good picture. Anybody can take a picture, but can you make these people feel comfortable? Can you make people want to come back? You know, can you blend into an event where it's not like, oh, this guy's being a stalker or something. You know, like, you know, yeah. you had all different kinds of situations, you know, so that's my thing. Like, I'm not solely in this for the money. Like, of course I need to make money now because this is the only thing that I'm doing.
Okay.
But I'm a firm believer of, you know, even if you miss an opportunity, it still could lead to something good.
Okay, wait, is this like related to the alter ego project?
Yeah.
So wait, I'm sorry. Can you explain it? Because like you're talking, and I'm like, I don't really get it. So So the alter ego,
right? I've only done alter ego projects for people who I feel like have alter egos.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, so
that.
Like,
and that's where you're talking about the whole passion, not the money part.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Exactly.
So I mean, I could do an alter ego for anybody who comes to me, but then that's where oversaturation comes in, and you know, just people getting tired of it. Like, you know, I don't like to do the same thing over and over and over again. Like the last alter ego you saw me do, the one before that, I probably did maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I did the last alter ego I did was with Kanduani Fidel.
Oh, okay.
Spoken word.
Yeah.
Bullet Train, mm-hmm. All of that. I've actually had the opportunity to get to know him because, you know, he comes to my studio to write and, you know, to rehearse and, you know, for shows that he has coming up. So I see all of these different personalities. So it was my idea. I was like, you know, let's go here. I want to do a you know, alter ego shoot with you, just because I honestly believe that he is all of those people.
Okay, so for you, the alter ego project, that's like reserved only for people that you know. When y'all get into that collaboration together, it's gonna be something good.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
And you know, it's funny. Like, I've probably only done alter ego shoots for maybe like 4 or 5 people. I've done them for myself more. You know, just out of boredom or mm-hmm. being out of the country or being out of town and not having anything to do. So,
oh, you've traveled out of the country?
Oh, yeah. I've done weddings in Mexico, Jamaica. I've actually been to Jamaica twice for weddings, and I'm getting married in Jamaica.
Oh, congratulations,
next year.
Man.
I travel all over.
Man, that's awesome.
It's fun. And it's free.
That's the best part. So who are some photographers that you admire, or where do you get your inspiration from?
I get my inspiration from life. Like, I'm on Instagram. Like, I don't have like a favorite photographer, but I do have photographers that I follow. Like, and when I say follow, not like I just press the follow button.
Oh, for Instagram?
For anything.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's just people out here that I feel like are, like, way past me, and I just need to see what they're up to. You know, I don't like to follow too many photographers because subconsciously you could be picking up stuff from them, and I don't like to replicate people. So I don't, even if, like, say I did a shoot with you and somebody was here yesterday and took the same exact picture, like, if I saw that picture, I wouldn't want to take it. But I don't want to not want to take a picture. So you see what I'm saying? So
you follow them for, right, the inspiration, but you use what they're doing to inspire you in your own creative way. Like, you're not like, oh, this guy or this woman, she photographed it like this, so the next time I see it, I'm going to photograph it like that as well, because that's a really good shot. You draw what you will from them and then apply it to your own thing.
Exactly. And I use them more for motivation. When you see people out here doing what you do on a constant basis, it just wants you to keep up or go past them.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I know that, like, there's serious money to be made. There's one guy, it's called Entrepreneur on Fire. It's a podcast. This guy interviews entrepreneurs 7 days a week.
Wow.
And he's been doing it for about 3 or 4 years now, but this guy is making no bullshit, like, millions of dollars.
Really?
Yeah, man, and it's crazy. Podcasting is a newer thing. I feel like younger people understand it more than your parents or your grandparents or something like that.
Honestly, like I said, I'm 35. Yeah. So I'm just starting to understand podcasts. Like, you can actually, like, share podcasts with people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and that's what I like about it. So I can just have my podcast in my phone and just say, hey, listen to me, check out my podcast, and send it to them. That's awesome to me.
Yeah, man.
That's almost better than, I mean, not because I don't know the how many people listen, mm-hmm. but I think that could be like running neck and neck with radio, because a lot of people listen to radio, but they don't act on radio. It's just like something to kill dead noise.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Me personally, I think that podcasting is going to be the future of radio because, sorry, with TV, you know, people had cable in the 90s and then the 2000s. And then once Netflix came on, especially with streaming, people were like, oh, well, I don't have cable anymore. I have Netflix because it's on demand and is when you where and when you want it.
Right.
The same thing is with podcasts. Like, you can listen to them on your computer, but I mostly listen to them on my phone. And if you download podcasts when you're at your home, when you're at home and you have internet connection, then you can listen to them on the go. It's just on-demand entertainment when you want. And there's so many categories and different genres of podcasts that there's something for everybody out there.
Right.
So I think it's really great, but I'm sorry. I forgot what I first asked. We kind of got off track.
I think you asked me about Instagram or my inspirations,
You get inspired by other photographers, but you never look to emulate anybody's style.
Yeah, like of course I can say that that I have a favorite photographer. I mean, I just don't. Like, I have a bunch of different people, like even local people in my life. Like, it's just I'm me. I just started really being super confident in my own work. Wow, it's weird. I'm weird. I'm really weird. Like,
I think everybody's weird in their own strange way.
I follow people who I feel like are better than me.
Yeah, of course. You follow people you feel like you can learn something from.
Exactly. And I like the same with life. Like, I like to be around people I can learn from.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be around somebody that, you know, I can't build anything off of
someone that's gonna drag.
I mean,
you
not
down.
Saying, you know, I'm around, you know, you'll be around who you're gonna be around.
No, at the end of the day, you don't wanna be around people that aren't gonna try and support you or you
try to better you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you're not gonna be around people that you don't wanna be around people that are not gonna try and lift you up, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially with creative stuff, because we're always told, like, you know, get a good job or a safe job, like be an accountant or an engineer. And I'm sure those people make money, but, you know, if you just don't like to do it, you don't like to do it.
No, and I swear, like, I was a working guy. Like, I've been working since I was 8 years old. My grandfather had his own company in New York, and I worked with him every summer. So the work ethic is there. It's just, where do I want to put my energy? Where do I want to put my energy and who for?
Right.
You know, like, I worked for a transportation company for about a year and a half, and I gave them everything that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And since I left there, I've tripled my salary.
All right.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, not bragging, but if you triple your salary when you leave somebody else to put your energy into what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
it kind of, like, makes you feel like, all of that time, you were wasting your time. Like, I could have been tripling my salary if I had.
You could have been making money doing what you wanted to do so much earlier. But I think that part where you do the stuff that you don't like or you do stuff that you have to do, I think that part is important, because then once you get to where you want to be in life, or you keep on progressing and building and bettering yourself, you realize just how far you come. So whenever you're getting down on yourself, you're like, man, but you know, like this time last year or like 5 years ago, I wasn't even doing anything, you know?
Yeah.
So what does it mean for you to be a black photographer?
Black, white, picture. You don't know who took the picture when you take a picture, you know? So, I mean, I just happen to be a black man that does photography. What I could say is that, when I take my pictures, it may be from a black perspective, quote unquote, you know, because of where I'm from, where I'm comfortable, and, you know, I'm from the inner city.
Right.
I'm in the inner city every day of my life. You know what I mean? So, like, that's my comfort zone. That's where I am. That's where I photograph. That's what I love. Like, the abandoned buildings, like, my whole life, the house right next to me was abandoned, where the backyard was like dirt, needles, glass, trash, anything, dead cats, like whatever just happened to be over in that yard. Like, I used to play basketball on a crate in that yard. Like, that's how I grew up. So I'm comfortable in these elements where, you know, somebody from another culture or another race may not be as comfortable in those situations. So you won't see a picture in those elements, you know. So
okay.
I'm showing you somewhere where you may not be exposed to, but you can kind of see that, you know, what's going on from outside.
Okay.
Like, I take pictures of everything. I take pictures of people walking by. I take pictures of dilapidated buildings. I take pictures of streets. I take pictures of nice stuff, bad stuff, the good, the bad, the ugly. Like, all that. Mm-hmm. I want people to see that Baltimore isn't just that wire stigma, but it is there, though. Like,
yeah.
they didn't just make that up off of nothing.
Right.
You know? So it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put it out there for you to make your own assumptions and take your own actions or do whatever it is you want to do off of what you see, but it is what you see. I don't manipulate any of these pictures. Like,
right.
I may, you know, do something with the contrast, but that's not...
You don't stage the picture to make it look like something it's not.
No. Mm. I take what I see. That's what I think a great picture is. If I take a picture of something and it looks exactly how I see it on my eyes, that's a perfect picture.
Okay. Well, speaking of perfect pictures, what's a quick photography tip you could give anyone to make them like start taking better pictures today?
Don't try to take a picture that somebody else took. Like, if you see something that you like I just said, just try to get that shot.
Well, okay. Well, what about
lighting?
Okay,
lighting.
Yeah. I was gonna say talk a little bit more about technique, like framing and stuff like that.
See, I don't like to do that because then I'm telling them how to take a picture. Like, who am I to say that if your head is only at the bottom right of the picture, that's not how you wanted it to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hear people talk about thirds, and like,
yeah,
I said,
I've
never technically learned all of the technical jargon, you know, like,
right.
I don't even know all the verbs, but I know how to work the hell out of my camera. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, like, when I've probably got at least 10 or 11 photographers into photography.
Okay.
And one thing I told them, I said, I'm never going to tell you how to take your picture. But if you have any questions, just ask me, you know, how you can get it to look a certain kind of way. Like, if you follow photographer A all the way to photographer Z, they're all going to have different styles. Some people might like black and white. Some people might like vivid colors. Some people might like dull colors. Some people might like to off-center their subject. Like, it's no right or wrong way to do photography. It's all in what the people like when they see it, or if they like it when they see it.
Okay.
So, I mean, but I'll just say, know your lighting. That's what photography is.
Know your lighting?
Lighting, yeah.
Okay.
Lighting is photography.
You think lighting can be the difference between like a positive looking image and a negative looking image?
Yeah.
Okay.
People tend to equate shadows with evil or
right.
negative, and, you know, people tend to equate light, you know, brighter situations to, you know, happier times. So
okay, gotcha. All right, cool. You got any upcoming projects you're working on that you want to talk about?
Yeah. One of my partners is working on a project called A Great Day in Baltimore, which is a recreation of the Great Day in Harlem. Are you familiar with that picture?
I want to say yes because I have an idea in my mind, but I don't know if it's the right thing. So can you explain it?
You ever seen a picture of there's a brownstone and there's a bunch of black people like basically on the steps like flooding out to the street? It's like a group shot, and it's all like it's done during the Renaissance era. So like
the Harlem Renaissance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like all of the popular poets and artists are like basically gathered to take one big group shot.
Okay.
So that's what I did with Baltimore. All of the people that, you know, me and my partner felt were doing relative things for Baltimore, we reached out to, and a lot of people showed up.
Cool.
Just to name a few, Aaron Maven, Devin Allen, Cherie Booker, Sheree Booker, she writes, and what's funny about this is, this was 2 years ago when we did this project, right? And then all the Freddie Gray stuff happened, and the uprise and all of that. So it like all of these people are doing much more now than when we actually took the picture, and it's because of all of the different the trials and stuff that we went through since then, which kind of like makes it better for me, because you know, now it's not like we went after these people because of these successes,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it was like we came at you just for the regular stuff that you were doing for the community, and you end up doing greater things. So you know, just to big up our casting. But
so you're doing another one of those?
No, it's actually the same one. We haven't put it out. Like, we haven't even put the picture out at all yet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you shot it over 2 years ago and you still haven't released it?
We haven't released it because we didn't want to put it out during the Freddie Gray.
I see.
So we kind of waited. And then now we're going to, the Impact Hub is giving us the whole month of August.
Oh, really?
For this project.
Oh, man, that'll be great. So
so it's going to be panels, all kinds of
discussions. Oh, it'll be
around
an event?
Yeah. It's
gonna, all right, man. Hopefully I'll have my recording equipment by then. I would definitely like to come through and just...
even if you don't, just come.
Come through and do a story.
Definitely just come through.
All right, cool, man. Good. Where can people find you and find your work online?
You can follow me at Nice Shot Kyle. That's NiceShotKyle on everything.
Go to Twitter, Instagram.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Are you still a Twitter fiend?
Not really. I try, but what I do is I just like link everything from Instagram.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I just got on Snapchat, so my Snapchat is Nice Shot Kyle too. Mm-hmm. I like Snapchat.
Excuse me. I'm still trying to figure it out. Obviously, I know how to use it. And of course, like, I'm sure millions of other guys, I just downloaded it because my girlfriend was like, I got Snapchat. Are you going to get it? And I was like, yeah.
That's the same thing happened to me. Like, I swear, people ask me all the time, I'm a photographer, right? So, you on Snapchat? No, I'm not sure. I don't want to try to learn something new, right? So, then my fiance gets on there and she's like, oh, Snapchat, I love it. So now I have to get on it. So,
of course.
But now that I know how to use it, it's not bad. Like, I actually really like Snapchat.
Cool. So Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Oh,
Nice Shot Kyle.
Yeah.
All right. What if people want to check out some of your work? What's your website?
You either go to Kyle Pompey. That's KylePompey.com, or you can go to NiceShotPhotography.net. And that's NiceShot photography.net.
All right, we'll probably put some links up on the website once this is published. So, you got anything you want to talk about that we haven't already gone over?
No. Like, I mean, I do everything for my city. Like, I take all my pictures just for people outside of Baltimore to see what's going on, because there's a lot of issues that we have that are being kind of like used for political gain that aren't really being addressed or actions being taken on it. So I'm just gonna keep doing my thing, and hopefully, you know, people see my pictures and ask questions.
All right, man, sounds good. Well, Kyle, I want to thank you for sitting down with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Local Color is written, edited, hosted, directed, and engineered by me, Jason V. Local Color's website was designed using the Morning WordPress theme, with website hosting provided by Skylar Newman. Media hosting is provided by Blueberry Podcasting. Visit blubrry.com to learn more. Local Color's theme music is by Dame Funk and was provided with permission by Stone's Throw Records. I'm Jason V, and I'll be back with more Local Color.